Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, we have a fair amount of breaking news right now. CENTCOM announced a little after 4 o'clock Central Time, at the direction of the Commander-in-Chief, President Trump, they have responded to the downing of the U.S. Army Apache helicopter. And the CENTCOM tweet says the mission is a proportional response to unjustified Iranian aggression. Jen Griffin at Fox reporting on this a short time ago.
We've just gotten word that based on that CENTCOM statement, we had extended this. The president had indicated that he must respond, given that there were two Americans in that Apache helicopter that had to be rescued at sea earlier today. So we were expecting this. But what's interesting from the statement that CENTCOM just put out is that it described these as defensive strikes, and they said that they would be proportional. So what we're looking at right now, there are some indications, there are some explosions in a port city called Sirik. We're getting the initial reports of ongoing strikes from the Iranians themselves. The Iranian foreign minister earlier today had warned that if the U.S. escalated, there would be a very, very big response.
By the way, something just as a side note, this is crazy. The downed Apache crew that you heard her reference to, they were rescued by a drone. By some drone vessels that were in the water. So we don't know everything that's going on right now. Jacob Olodort is back with us, Chief Research Officer and Director of American Security at the America First Policy Institute. Jacob, welcome back. How are you this evening?
Mark, doing well. Privileged to be with you. Thank you.
I suppose we thought, because President Trump made it very clear that there was going to be some response to the downing of the Apache. And I don't know what proportional, you know, response means this afternoon. You heard the reference to the port maybe being attacked, but what are your expectations for what might be done or what's going on currently right now?
Right. First of all, I mean, it's certainly an important side note about the drone technology being used. But I think larger point, look, the rhetoric matters and the framing of these strikes matters. And so I think the United States is sending a very clear message to the Iranians. First of all, any harm to Americans, as the president said over the weekend, will be responded to by the United States. But it's giving Iran an off-ramp. By calling it defensive, proportionate, we are not saying that this is the totality of the response, should there be more. But look, we will respond, and that's sort of the message here.
You know, I don't think, if you were to ask me, use a word that you think would, you know, very accurately describe Donald J. Trump, I don't think patience would even be in my top 100 words, right? But he's being very, and I think a little bit more patient than I expected. Here's Mark Thiessen talking about this.
He's incredibly patient. The problem is, as great a deal maker as Donald Trump is, you have to have a negotiating partner who's willing to make a deal with you. And in Iran, it's very clear that he doesn't have a negotiating partner because there's no Delcy Rodriguez. You know, when you're talking about moderates versus, it's like saying that we killed Hitler and now we've got the really bad Nazis, or now we've got the moderate Nazis. There's no moderate Nazis, and there are no moderate Iranian Islamic radicals. And so you have to finish them militarily. And quite frankly, what's dangerous for the Republican Party going into the midterms is having this muddled situation going into the midterms. It has to end decisively in some way.
Well, I kind of agree with Mark there. And, you know, I don't know if there's a sense that Trump is talking to the right people, because you wouldn't ordinarily see him, you know, with this much patience in a situation like this. Would you agree?
Right. Well, and with no visibility, of course. But I think, look, it's patience. It's also a plan. And there is a clear, and it has to be a comprehensive approach, which it is for this president. There is, you've heard the phrase multidimensional chess going on. There are different aspects of the regime and what it does. And I think it's important what Mark Thiessen outlined, that we are not playing the fictional language game that the Obama team played of moderates versus radicals. I think this administration knows exactly who they're dealing with. And I think that they have been calibrating the economic, diplomatic, and military now pressure points exactly right to meet that overall plan.
So where does Israel fall into this? We know that a week ago this was all confirmed. You know, Trump did not like what Bibi was doing with Hezbollah, called them crazy. They both kind of came out of that, you know, confirming that the account took place and that Trump wasn't happy with them. Mentioned that a couple of times last week. What is the current situation, do you think, with Israel? Because there were more, I think there were more strikes on southern Lebanon today by the Israelis, too.
Yeah. Well, look, and I don't know, obviously, we don't know what the totality of what the president said to the prime minister. I mean, there's a lot of reporting out there, which is, you know, partial at best. But I think the bigger story here over the weekend, which I think is important for listeners, this is the first time that Iran fired at Israel in response to Israel launching strikes into Lebanon. And that's important. Usually it was in response to Israel firing directly at Iran. The message Iran is sending there is that it cares about the survival of Hezbollah, maybe just as much as its dreams of its nuclear ambitions. And I think that's important, and that's probably the tension point on the regime side. They have been making sure and pushing for Lebanon to be part of any negotiations. They understand that Hezbollah, I would call it, is existential to this regime's global terror network, including the U.S., including Western Hemisphere, Europe. All of that, and of course, the Middle East, is coordinated through Hezbollah. And so if they lose Hezbollah and leverage there, they are significantly diminished in terms of what they're able to accomplish.
And I don't know why. So then the question, why wouldn't you want to minimize that as much as possible, right?
Well, that's right. And look, we all have distinct priorities. I mean, Israel has a strategic existential priority in eradicating Hezbollah, its own threats from there. It's on their border with 100,000 missiles directly pointed at Israeli cities. But look, Hezbollah is responsible for the largest attack on U.S. Marines since the Battle of Iwo Jima, and that is the 1983 Marine Barracks.
That's right.
This is part of our memory, our experience. And so, to your point, yeah.
So, do you, you know, here missing in this conversation, and this is where I still get confused about how this might end. You can go in there and pound them more with bombs, and we know, I think we're pretty sure and convinced that the economic pressure from the blockade is doing immense damage to the economy, but we're still not really figuring out how to get the highly enriched uranium out of there.
Right. And there are a couple of pieces there, of course. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we want, it may not be limited to the uranium itself, and we want a commitment from this regime that they will abandon their nuclear ambitions, which is a very tall order. But that is, you know, the threshold, I think, that we're thinking about. But, you know, part of it, look, it's a complex issue. I believe, and I have something I'm putting together in writing about Lebanon as a piece of this and Hezbollah as the path to the end state. I think the economic tools and pressure will remain. I think the blockade is working. So I think this will all take time. What will the outcome be as far as the Iranian regime is concerned? All that is unknown yet. But all that, I mean, the president's been clear, he's not rushing into a bad deal. And so I think we need to give the space to the administration to work through the negotiation. And as we're seeing today, respond as appropriate when necessary too.
Yeah, this is all, you know, and I think you know this.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
The framework, or maybe not the framework, but what's happening behind the scenes here politically is also interesting. Because, look, the president is finding himself in a position with a lot of people who supported this, you know, action to begin with, and certainly the goals of what he's trying to achieve in Iran. But they're also running out of patience from the perspective of there needs to be an end to this at this point. And that path is not clear. And your point, yeah, the president wants to get not a deal. He wants to get the best deal. He wants to get a good deal. But when you set expectations in the way that he did, I think that's where there's risk. Now we're going to get into, look, it won't be too long before we're at the 4th of July. It's only a few weeks away. And the clock is ticking very, very quickly toward, you know, the midterms. Now, he doesn't seem concerned about that because he's not doing this for political reasons. But, you know, people behind the scenes, there's Republicans very nervous about this right now.
Right. No, and you and I have talked multiple weeks about this topic. And look, I think the reality is the Iranian regime is reading the politics closely. They believe they can use American domestic politics against the president, which obviously is misleading. But I think part of our response and awareness, look, there is pain, and no question about it, but there's a bigger picture, too. And I think that's important, because when we look, for example, at the Strait of Hormuz, on which we rely very little directly, of course, energy is a global commodity. But, you know, at the end of the day, and you've had CEOs say this as well, the risks of not doing this or of stopping too soon may mean the prices may be higher in the long term for longer. And so what we're doing now vis-a-vis Iran, yes, it's pain in the immediate, but it has global effect and making our, you know, our economic picture more stable, our well-being more stable. If you think about, you know, the Strait of Hormuz, you think about, you know, Iran's connectivity with Russia, which is also destabilized, you know, global energy there. You think about the Western Hemisphere, all of that, and even China, comes back to addressing this Iran issue, which we're right in the thick of right now.
No, so, that, and that's a fair point, Jacob, because look, as you point out, in geopolitics, I'm not an expert on geopolitics, right? But this is extremely complicated, very complicated globally.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Exactly. Appreciate the reporting. Thank you so much for coming on again with me this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. That's Jacob Olderick. I want to kind of circle back just because the one part of this story, and you know, this kind of ties in with what we're going to do with George Rosenthal with Tech Talk Tuesdays. I mentioned this on the intro to Jacob there, though. This was a first of its kind U.S. military drone rescue that helped save these two aviators today. So the helicopter crashes near the Strait of Hormuz, and an unmanned Navy vessel locates the downed crew, brings them to safety after they're in the water for like 2 hours. I know that you're floating and you seem safe, but still, that's a long time to be hanging out in the middle of the ocean off the coast of Oman. Military officials say it was the first known at-sea rescue conducted by the U.S. military drone. That's amazing, isn't it? It's a 24-foot autonomous vessel. It's known as the Corsair and built by Saronic Technologies. It's assigned to the Naval Task Force 59, the service's pioneering unit focused on uncrewed.
Gotcha.
It looked like unscrewed, though. Uncrewed and artificial intelligence-powered maritime operations. That's cool, though.
It is cool.
You know, this thing goes down. Okay, let's send the drone to pick him up.
I think, obviously, that's the future.
It is.
And boots on the ground, I would assume, will just become a less and less...
Oh, yeah.
Necessary thing as we figure all this stuff out.
I think you're right about that, which is a good thing. Yeah, modern warfare is changing dramatically, but this whole situation with Iran is still not, you know, totally in modern warfare because they're dropping bombs and shooting helicopters out of the sky and things like that. A little bit more reporting here from Jen Griffin. She's really good at Fox on some of this stuff, talking about the talks ongoing.
Well, we've just learned from a senior U.S. defense official that the strikes are ongoing as we speak right now, and that some of the targets that we can confirm at this point are air defense systems inside Iran as well as radar installations. The initial explosions that we've seen reported on X out of Iranian sources suggest that Sirik, which is a port city, as well as Bandar Abbas were among the targets. But what we can say at this point is that these airstrikes are ongoing. Flight trackers have seen about 8 KC-135 air refueling tankers above the Middle East, over the Gulf. Presumably, they would be in position to help refuel these American warplanes.
One of the questions then they had was about the Iranian drones.
Well, I think the problem with the drones is that they're mobile and they can be launched mobily. They do see them when they're launched. And I was told earlier today that they saw multiple drones being launched around the time that the Apache went down. In terms of proportion, so far, what we are seeing and hearing reported, if you're talking air defenses, that would fit in the CENTCOM statement that these are defensive strikes and going after the radar. But it also could indicate that you would always take out the air defenses and radar installations before you had another wave of strikes, before you put American warplanes into any harm's way. So it's really unclear at this point. But what we can say is that the airstrikes targeting Iran are ongoing at this point.
Yeah, and again, this is something that's just been ongoing for the last hour. It was 4 p.m. Central when CENTCOM announced the strike. So it's still very much an active situation. And I love Jen. She's really good at this stuff. We'll stay on top of it as it is breaking news this evening on 97.1 FM.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.